The mother of Boston Marathon bombing suspect Jahar Tsarnaev plans to come to the U.S. for her younger son's first court hearing. It's in 2 weeks. Zubeida Tsarnaeva told the BBC that both her sons, the surviving Jahar and his older brother Tamerlan, who was killed in a shootout with police, could not have carried out the bombings.
We never talked about killing. It had no place, the word killing, back in our house. I am sure that my kids never would do this.
She also said Tamerlan was not radicalized when he visited Dagestan last year. Well, the BBC's Tim Franks is there now. He's met people who met Tamerlan, and he also found an Islamic insurgency that makes it very easy for young men to be radicalized. Tim Franks joins us from Makhachkala in Dagestan. Tim, what was your impression of the mother, Zubeida?
Well, this is a woman who is sort of dealing with grief and defiance in equal measure. She's a very religious woman. She was swathed head to toe in black because she'd been mourning the death of her brother. But out of this sort of morass of black, I was watching her eyes, which were bulging with passion. She has said before that her sons were innocent. She also, though, said, and this was striking, I think, that given that she said in the past some very harsh things about the United States, about how it's taken away her boys, as she's put it in the past, she said, perhaps with an eye to the fact that she intends to travel back to the States, that she had asked, or she is asking, the American people to forgive her. She said that actually she's had a lot of support from American people, and when she herself lived in the States, she found herself warmly received in the neighborhoods that she lived in.
Well, you said she was very religious. Did you get the sense that she might have been radicalized? We remember the early reports that there had been phone conversations between the mother and the older son, Tamerlan, calls that were allegedly taped by the Russian government in which they allegedly talked about jihad. So did you get any sense that she might have been radicalized?
She talked to me, not on camera, about this issue of jihad, and she said that it had been misinterpreted. She said that jihad has become a sort of byword in the West for militant Islamism, for a violent struggle. But she actually said that jihad has a much less sinister etymology, and that actually it just means struggle in the broadest sense of the word. So that she said that her whole life is jihad in the sense that it's a struggle to be religiously observant and to fulfill the commands of Allah and the Prophet Muhammad. She also insisted that when Tamerlan, her older son, spent 6 months here in Dagestan last year, that he was not radicalized. And it was one of the things that we were interested in trying to piece together, the sorts of people that Tamerlan spent time with. Now, we could find no proof that he'd had direct contact with the militants, the Islamist militants who were running the insurgency. But we did speak to political Islamists who'd had quite a lot of time with him. And they were saying that, as far as they were concerned, they found Tamerlan very open, very naive, very impressionable. They didn't believe Tamerlan was guilty. But one of them did say that perhaps because he was so impressionable, he was forced into some sort of a trap. However, their overriding view of this was that the Boston bombings was some sort of plot to discredit Muslims worldwide.
Let's put this in context. Dagestan, one of the southern Russian republics, and having this Islamist insurgency. How big is it? What do they want? And I guess after that context, how do people in general in this area feel about the Boston bombings?
I have to say, a lot of people, whether they sympathize with Islamists or not, do not believe that the Tsarnaev brothers were guilty. And I think that's partly down to pride. However, at the same time, while they will reassure you that life isn't so bad in Dagestan and it's all rather overblown, there is a simmering insurgency here, which week in, week out, causes casualties. Just the week before we arrived, 19 people died, 16 insurgents, 3 Russian security officials. A lot of the people you talk to, well, not a lot, but a significant number, carry guns. And, you know, it's an odd mix. life in Dagestan, as far as we've been able to see, goes on as normal. There's lots of construction here, which suggests the economy is doing pretty well. It has its pretty bits. There are loads of cafes and restaurants, but it is the poorest part of Russia, which suggests there's a rather parallel economy going on here. There's a tradition of lawlessness, and into that, this Islamist insurgency has plugged itself. The insurgents themselves, they don't number probably more than a few hundred, but their numbers are constantly replenished, and they do cause problems. And indeed, also, the authorities here have at times some pretty heavy-handed tactics to try and crush the insurgency, all of which means that people, while warm and while going around about their daily business, can also be quite jittery.
Yeah. Well, we've talked before on this program about how the young men go into the forest, it's called, and join the insurgency. Some of them come out, and some of them are allowed to be rehabilitated. But it was so interesting to hear in your report one of the officials admiring what they thought was an appropriate response in Boston to the Boston bombers, as if to say, well, those in the U.S. went after the Boston bombers, so what's wrong with us going after our insurgents here? But just, you mentioned something I want to just pick up on. You said you couldn't find any connection between Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the alleged bomber who was killed, and these insurgents. We had heard reports that he actually did have contact with two insurgents who were killed. Was that just in a different region, or what are you finding?
We could not turn up any direct evidence that he had engaged with militants. That having been said, I did talk to the Islamists who had spent time with him, and indeed this was the first time that we, as far as we are aware, that on the record we had direct corroboration from people who had spent time with Tamerlan. And I asked them what their contacts were with militants. One of them said, well, look, 95% of Dagestani men have contacts with militants. Now, I think that's slightly exaggerated, but it did suggest that there wasn't perhaps such a clear firewall between those who subscribe to a brand of political Islamism and those who perhaps subscribe to a brand of militant Islamism. And indeed, this man, who was the deputy leader of the main legal Islamist organization in Dagestan, when I asked him whether he considered violence useful at times, he said, well, not useful, but it is inevitable. He said that as the Muslims become increasingly assertive and the Russian authorities become, as he put it, increasingly repressive, there would be civil war, and in his rather pessimistic view, that we would all be buried in the avalanche.
The BBC's Tim Franks in Dagestan. Tim, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
Back in a minute, here and now.